called to blessing. Verse 9 says, you were called thereunto, and that you should inherit a blessing. If you will bless, guess what will happen? If you will go into this world, blessing, eulogio, finding good words, becoming the optimist, becoming the one who sees the gift in every pail of garbage, you're the one. If you will begin to cultivate that in your life for Jesus' sake, you will find that people will turn around and be blessing you. That's where you're going to get it. He says he wants that from you. You know, the Bible says by faith the elders obtained a good report. And you and I are supposed to, by faith, obtain a good report from our world. Now, if you're acting and behaving and looking and smelling and going and doing everything like the world, you're not going to have them blessing you. They're going to say, oh, he's just like me. She's just like me. There's nothing different than them. And that's why he's saying you're supposed to be a person who is clearly a cut above. You're living on a different plane. Verse 10 says, for he that will love life, and he uses this to bolster his argument. He says, you're called to blessing, and you're called to inherit a blessing. He says, for he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking no guile. Now understand, therein lies the telic principle of this letter. Your tendency is to mouth off. Our tendency is to speak evil. Our tendency is to defend ourselves. Our tendency is to justify and vindicate ourselves. He says, stop it. Just stop it. If somebody speaks evil of you, he who speaks in secret will take care of the deal. Jesus did in chapter 2, at the end of chapter 2, it says that when he was reviled in verse 23, he didn't revile again, and he suffered, and when he suffered, he didn't threaten somebody else. Is it suffering to be talked bad about or misunderstood? Yes. It is suffering. It is hard. Somebody misunderstands you, misrepresents you, and hates you for no good apparent reason, and you know in the backstory of your mind, I didn't even do that. I don't know what they're talking about. He doesn't say, defend yourself. What he says is, he says, Jesus, in verse 23, committed himself to him that judges righteously. That's how you do it. If you're going to love life, and you're going to see good days, you're going to have to settle yourself down, you're going to have to grab your tongue in your mouth, and you're going to have to control it. In fact, the word in there that says refrain is the word pa'o. We get the word pause. Pause from it. So put a pause on your mouth. Next time you see yourself, don't pause. And don't pause your mate. Pause you. You got enough to worry about. Amen? True, isn't it? Pause. Don't do it, please. I'm going to get emails on this. I know. Here's the concept. Pause your lips. Pause your mouth. Pause your tongue. Because that's the first place the abundance of your heart is going to involve itself. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the man's mouth speaks. So if you find yourself gushing foolishness and evil and railing and guile and hurtful words and not eulogizing, if you find that happening, it's because your heart is festering with a lot of bad emotions. Malice and all the stuff in verse 1 of chapter 2. Malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies. We live in that neighborhood. Evil speaks. If you're going to love life, and love life is the idea of making much of life. Wouldn't you like to make much of life? Just enjoy every day? You know, you can. You have a choice. Well, you don't understand, we would say. Oh, you don't understand how bad I got it. No, no. You got it good. You get a pass. Jesus died in your place. If you trusted him as your Savior, you're heaven bound, child of the King, you're going to stand for the first 10,000 years with your mouth agape saying, whoa, in heaven. You're in! Woo! You got it good! You got nothing to be moaning about except that you're on an earthbound level and you're festering saying, I wish, why not me, and how could I? And that's where we get that misery coming from. And that's why we rail against railing and evil against evil speaking. He says, put a pause on that. If you would love life and see good, refrain your tongue and your lips. And he says in verse 11, he says, don't create a vacuum. He says, let him eschew evil. That literally is the idea of turning away from and out of evil. Why is it that we end up being so irritable and hateful in our world? It's because we are living on a low level. He says, turn out of it get up on the higher plane and turn away, but go somewhere. You have somewhere to go. He says, and do good. I want to just say, it's not swearing if somebody calls you a do-gooder. Isn't it funny? In our minds, being a do-gooder is a bad thing. And we're in the church of the living God, and that word hits us with a little bit of energy. Do-gooder. You do-gooder, you. And we think, last thing I want to be is do-gooder. You know what we do? We dive for the medium. We dive for the middle. We don't want to be accepted. We want to be at the bottom of the pile, but we certainly don't want to be a do-gooder. Isn't that goofy? Why not? Well, I don't want to do that. They'll think I'm weird. Fine, you're supposed to be. Look at verse 9 of chapter 2. It says you're a peculiar people. Actually, the word literally means special. Now, some of you are special. Just kidding. We all go there, don't we? It's all about being goofy. If we think it's good, we ought to do it. The Bible says be a do-gooder. That's super. Good work is knit into the fabric of who we are. He says, do good. Appreciate Brian this morning. He's in Sunday school and he's in church. He had a rough night last night. Couldn't get to sleep. Just life has kind of been tough lately. And yet, here he is, doing what he can, when he can. Now, beloved, some of us, we lay down too quickly. He says, be a do-gooder. And in verse 10, he says, verse 11, he says, not only do good, but seek peace. The word seek is the word that literally means seek with a view to finding it. And it says, seek peace and pursue it. Persecute is the word we have here. It really is translated 28 times in the New Testament. Persecute, literally, it means to chase after. It means to chase after it with a vengeance. It means to make it, to flee or to run with a sense of dread like you might not get it. Okay? Peace is a word that means to join. It means to join. Now what are we seeking when we're seeking peace? Well, in the context of the passage, he's talking about people getting saved and seeing Jesus. So first of all, we know God wants us to be peacemakers, isn't it? Blessed are the peacemakers. What's a peacemaker? Somebody puts a hand on God, puts a hand on another guy and says, I want to introduce you. It's also joining man to God. It's joining man to man. In the sense of, if somebody is really trashing somebody else, you look at, that other person. You try to smooth that out. Let's stop making their world miserable by stirring it up. You know, it's easy to complain. It's easy to complain. That just comes so natural. You never have to tell a child to moan and whine. Linda was saying last night, she's feeding the baby, our grandbaby, cutest baby on the planet. Amen? Oh, anyways, I won't go there. I was just feeding our grandbaby last night. She said, you know what? We didn't have to teach him how to cry with his mouth closed. She's trying to feed him carrots. He didn't have to say, he knew how. He didn't want any food. He's going to be whining out. He right away understood. If I open my mouth and really let it rip, she's going to shove something in there. Say, kid's 6 months old, you know. We're like, whoa, dude, you don't have to train people to whine. You don't have to train people to complain. You don't have to train people to say no and to rebel. You don't have to train yourself to be a railer. You have to settle yourself. You have to press the pause button. You have to control, because if you want a good life, I mean, if you want to enjoy and love life, if you want to make much of life, you got to refrain your lips. You got to reel yourself in. And you got to get yourself under control. You got to be a do-gooder, and you got to be willing to be a do-gooder, and you got to wear it like a badge of honor. If somebody says that, bless your heart, you're a do-gooder. Let them say it. Bring it on. It's okay with me. I just hope God thinks so. I don't really care what man thinks. Do not fear man. Fear God. Honor all men. Fear God. The Bible goes on in verse 11 to talk about being the do-gooder, and he talks about seeking peace. It's also joining God. Seek peace. What's God doing? You want peace? What is God doing? That's what you got to ask every day. What is God doing today? You want peace? Find out what God's doing and join Him. That's where peace is found. You see, He leads beside still waters. You join Him, it's going to be still waters. You know, sheep won't drink from a babbling brook. They're afraid of it.
You want fearless living? Join God. You want peace? Join God. You say, well, I can figure it out. Fine. Go ahead. You'll be out, you'll be down, you'll be done. That's what happens. We drift, we slip, we forget. All of those are verses that talk in Scripture. I can give you a chapter and verse for every one of those words. Slip, drift, and forget. They're all in Scriptures about what happens when you do not join God. What happens? And if you forget that you're washed from your sins, you're going to start acting like the world more and more all the time. The Bible says, beyond that, in verse 12, it says, for the eyes of the Lord. Now, here's the real good stuff. You see, if you really seek peace and you persecute it, or you chase after it with all that in you is, you're going to find something on the other side. You're going to find God. And that's the promise. He says, seek peace, for the eyes of the Lord are upon you. And His ears are open to you. You will begin to find God. Blessed are the pure in heart, they will see God. You say, I want to see God. You want to see God? You'll see Him in your day to day. It will amaze you the way God will show up in your little nuances of your day. And He will show you people's hearts. He will show you people's needs. He will show you people who need a touch in some way. God is involved in this world. We're not deists who think He winds it up and walks away. We don't believe that. We understand He's involved. He's the sovereign God. He is here. He's active. He's doing. He's seeking whom He may redeem. That's what He's about. He's waiting. And He's suffering as He waits. God is long suffering. He's taking it on the chin every day that we don't, that people don't come to Christ. Every day He takes that. That's long suffering. That means every day He's involved. Why is He taking it on the chin for those people at work that you see every day? People at school. People in your family. Why is He taking it on the chin? Because He loves them. And if we join Him, we're going to find Him on the other side of that. Verse 12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. God's face is against them that do evil. But notice this. He goes on to say, be a do-gooder. It'll give you peace. It'll give you long, it'll love life in many days. He'll give you blessing. All that stuff is yours if you'll just do it God's way. And he says, and who is they, he that will harm you if you do be followers of that which is good? Verse 13. The word followers is mimetai, means to mimic. If you mimic good, who's going to hurt you? And he knows that that's true. I mean, generally speaking, if you're doing good, you're not going to be bothered. But if you're mimicking good, you're probably mimicking Jesus, because He's the only good. There's none good but God, right? He said to the rich young ruler, good and happy, that who's good, none good but God. He wanted him to say, well, that would be you. You're God, and so you're good. The guy didn't get it. But you and I get it. We see it from hindsight. Jesus is God. Jesus is good. When we're mimics of that which is good, we're mimicking Him. What did He do? He said, I'm come to seek and save that which is lost. As my Father sent me, so send I you. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. You say, well, I'm busy. Listen, it's only a vapor that appears for a little time you'll spend down here. So this is a vapor. That's all. Faith understands that. What is your life that is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away? You've got nothing more important to do than to get joined up with God. What's He doing? Does your faith know that? Does your faith understand this is but a drop in the bucket in light of all eternity? You see, the fact of the matter is, we're so earthbound we can't see that. We're so eager to go after and get and have and be vindicated and liked and loved and wanted that we'll sell out. You remember Esau? That profane person? What did he do? He sold his birthright for a bowl of pottage. And that's where we are today. The devil's offering up a whole lot better than pottage today, isn't he? Red beans. I hate red beans. So he wouldn't get me there, but there's other things he might try to sell me on. How about you? He'll sell you something. He told Jesus, you know what? He said, Jesus, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you all the glory of all the kingdoms of all the earth, because it's been given into my hands to do this. I will give it to you if you'll bow down and worship me. Now, folks, Jesus didn't say you don't have that power. He just said, listen, he did have that power. He's the prince of the power of the air. And if he's got the power of all the glory of all the kingdoms of all the earth, then he can give you a little something too. Now, you can go pray to him. Dear devil, I want, I want, I want. Give me, give me, give me. I mean, you say, well, I would never do that. But don't we, in one sense or another, when we lay down and seek that thing that is not what we would need to be seeking, we need to seek God, and we're seeking everything else? You see, everything else is not what God is doing. God is doing one thing. God is wanting to show forth grace. He says, this is grace. You saw it last week. This is grace. He shows it two times in chapter 2. He says, that's what I want him to see. I want him to see my excellencies. What is the excellency of God? The excellency of God is grace. Woo! Grace. He bestows favor. He bestows blessing. He bestows eternal life. So we got to settle ourselves down. And then we'll have good life. And if you break through, because generally speaking, nobody's going to harm you. But, and if, verse 14, you do suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. You know what it really says? Because the are ye is added. Happy. It literally says, congratulations.